are now listening to the Serious Growth Podcast with your host, Leo Costa Jr.
Hey, everybody. This is Leo Costa Jr. coming to you from SeriousGrowth.com. On our show today, we have Nora Reynoso. Did I get that right, Nora?
You sure did. Nora Reynoso.
Reynoso. Hey, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You know, I first have to say before we start, I met you early on at the Olympia, and man, you were just, you know, amazing. You made me feel very welcome, and as it turns out, the whole lot of you guys were just, you know, the whole organization was just something else, and it started with you, actually, because you were one of the first ones I met, and man, really interesting. Now, I was reading your bio, so to me, it sounds like that you had a heart-to-heart moment and a crossroad of your life, and you wrote this book called Rescuing Myself. Do I have that right?
That is correct.
Okay, that's kind of what I thought. And one of the things I really liked about because I went over your information, was that you were very, the title is very proactive. You know, and it seemed like the choice that you made, which I think is really important, is that you have to be accountable to yourself.
And yes.
Yet too many people, they put their hands in other people. I mean, I'm not saying that you shouldn't possibly do that, but you have to be a part of that process. And I really, right. I got that sense when I saw not only the title, but then the way you laid things out. I could tell that this was somebody who has really took it upon themselves to most importantly, be accountable to themselves. And too many people, from what I've seen over the years, they're afraid to do that, you know, because right. It really does hold you accountable. And that can be scary, because all of a sudden you start finding out a lot of things about you that you really have to either confront or be in more denial, you know.
Exactly.
So anyway, I really appreciate that. And what I've learned through the years is that the people subconsciously list the things that are most important to them. And what I noticed is that I noticed you listed nutrition before exercise.
Correct.
Okay. So, you know, when I'm doing my consultations and talking to people, because I fact find when clients come to me to my studio. And I just let them talk. I ask them questions, because a lot of times I don't even know they're telling me what's most important to them. Because a lot of times you'll ask a person, well, what are the goals that you want for yourself? And they start listing them in what's really the order that's most important. So tell me why nutrition was the most important for you.
So I came up with this thing to remind people, and this is something that I live by, and I call it NOAH. Noah, because most people know the story about Noah, and it's about starting fresh, and it's about getting rid of all the pollution, just all the bad. And that's how I feel that we need to start with in our body, in our temple. Mm-hmm. And so Noah, the first one is nutrition, which is number one, and it comes hand in hand with working out and keeping active. But right. First is nutrition, what we put in our temple. Second is opportunity, because we have to take the opportunities and the advantages that we have in life. We have so many opportunities, but we have to take them. The next one is A for accountability, and also action, because you have to take action. Right. Let me decline this call. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
And the last one is history, H for history, because we have to look back with social media, with the internet, with everything that we have at the tip of our hands. We can look back to what's happened. When we first got on here, we were talking about, you've been in the industry for many, many years. You started in Venice Beach, Santa Monica, and now you're able to see those athletes when they started and how they took care of their body, whether they used stimulants, steroids, and what the outcome is. So now we know the effects. And that's why I always say NOAH, nutrition, O for opportunity, A for action, accountability, and then we have history. So if you go that step by step, then you can find a balance within yourself and around you. And it's all about starting with what we put in our body.
Well, and I like that, you know, one of the things that we did, I wrote a lot of training courses in the 90s, late 80s, bodybuilding training courses. And the whole point of that was to create a a philosophy and a strategy for them. Because what I learned, and this will tie into what you're saying, I think, what I learned was that there were so many people that were out there that really didn't, they just were listening to, it's like all these people, but they really didn't have a pathway to go down. And I mm-hmm. recognized that pretty early on. It was kind of shocking for me, actually, to talk to some of the bodybuilders and then to realize that they really didn't know how they were getting to a result. You know, that was kind of telling for me. Mm-hmm. So that's when we started designing these training programs. And it was like what you're saying. If you follow this thing step by step, you're going to get a result. Now,
right.
not everybody might get the same result, but you're going to get a result, you know?
And I think that's very important. Like you say, people don't have the knowledge. They just follow what other people do. And that's right. what I try to put in the book. I try to give them everything I learned and their steps to take and why it's going to work. Not just tell you, hey, do this and this is the result. Yeah. I always say the outer shell is the bonus. We look amazing. I'm about to be 48. And I take great pride. You know, everybody comments on my long hair and my long lashes. It's nutrition. Yeah. You know, so many people think about calories instead of thinking about the nutrients. And that's what I try to teach people. I'm plant-based. I say I'm karma-free. I know, but I just give you what I know and you make your choice. Because
exactly.
not everybody is made to be vegetarian. Right. My blood type shows that I do better with grains and veggies. Yours yeah. might be better with high animal protein. Everybody's different. I just show you what I've learned, tell you why it works, and try to give you some knowledge and then leave it in your hands. And again, accountability, rescuing myself, because I can only give you the tools and the things I've learned, but you got to do it.
Right. And I think that's really important that you're, in my opinion, your strategy tells me that you're very evolved in the way you're doing that, because too many people get on a, you know, they think that this is there's one way and this is the only way. Mm-hmm. And it's not that way. You know, right. Everything to a degree works. Everything works to a degree. It depends on what degree it works for you. And that's kind of what you're saying. So I really do appreciate that, because you're right. Someone like me, and I do better on a more of a high protein diet, and it's always.
And I believe that. Yeah. I totally believe that. We're very similar, but we're different.
Yeah.
And that's why I always say you have to look within yourself to rescue yourself, because you have to listen to your body. And when yeah. you eat good foods, even if it's meat, if you eat grass-fed meats that doesn't have all that acid, your body's reacting differently. You are more in touch with yourself, and you know what does good for you. If your body doesn't do well with certain things, your body's going to react, and you have to be yeah. aware. You have to go yeah. back to the feelings.
Yeah. And what I like about your approach is that you're going back to the root of the problem, yeah. you know, because if you don't fix that, then that problem shows up down the road. You just put a Band-Aid on it. And I just really like that you're going to the root, and that's really the harder thing to do, you know?
Yep.
But when you do that, then all of a sudden, you know, it kind of
flows. Everything.
Yeah. And I will say this, I mean, the proof is in the pudding with you. You are 48 years old. You're beautiful. You're young looking. And I mean, you're amazing. And you also had an impressive career, 20 years in your own business. I mean,
I've owned a bail bond company for 20 years. That's another, you know, challenge that I had throughout my life. But I feel that challenges and lessons make you grow. And if you're not growing, you're dying. So yeah. 20 years owning a bail bond company, doing my own bounty hunting. I don't do it anymore because I treasure my life
yeah, no
a
kidding.
Lot more.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this though. You know, you can have all the everything in place and you're doing everything good for your body, but you know, one of the things that is very harmful to us is stress.
Yes.
Now, I know from I've been in my own business for 38 years, and I know that, hey man, there's a lot of stress at times in your business life.
Well, that's why I started bodybuilding, because I couldn't even sleep at night.
There and you
I
go.
Was, you know, physically strained, and I started working out. I didn't even feel myself anymore. And, you know, having so many people depend on you, I mean, that stress can give you a heart attack. I've seen you know, people my age and younger having heart attacks, and it's because of the stress. Yeah. And I try to teach that to people, that stress is acid. Anything that's acid is bad for you. So we'll put that on the negative side. Yeah. Anything alkaline, we can change it. We can't control the environment, some of the stress, but we can start looking at things differently where we don't let it get to us. So
yeah.
On that note, I started bodybuilding just to get rid of some stress.
Yeah.
And I ended up transforming everything and being so involved with the Natural Body Association, the IMBA.
Yeah.
So involved because I was just so passionate on everybody. I mean, I would hear these stories. It wasn't just me.
Yeah.
It was contagious.
Yeah.
And I started changing everything where now my entire world is the, you know, Natural Bodybuilding Association. I still have the bail bonds, but if I don't know you, if I don't, if you're not highly recommended, I won't even bail you out, because at this point in my life, my sanity
yeah.
is a lot more important than the money.
Yeah.
And I was taught to chase the money and then you would find happiness.
Right.
And that is not the key. The key is to find happiness in the experience, in the moments. The money will come.
Yeah,
yes, we need money to survive, but it doesn't bring you happiness. It brings you ability and opportunities.
Yeah.
And we can use them for good or bad.
That's a hard concept to really yeah. understand, but I think you're 100% right. And that's yep. why, you know, one of the things that's always driven me in my business is I determine what level of passion that I have for what I'm getting into.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned that a long time ago, you know, because I was born and raised on a dairy. And in my culture, Portuguese, it's supposed to be left to the next generation. Well, I was that generation that had a different idea. You know, it's like, I knew I really didn't want to do that. But yet I was kind of expected to do that. And it was hard for me to tear away from that, because, you know, you're born and raised with that.
Right.
And I didn't like what I identified early on was I didn't like feeling like I wasn't excited about getting up to go to work the next day. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm just going to a job. And that's when I made a promise to myself, if I ever got something that gave me passion, because as an athlete, I had that passion, but then my career was over. You know, at some point. And I promised myself, if anything ever gave me that kind of a buzz inside, I wasn't going to question that. And I was going to jump, you know. And
right.
at the age of 27, when I went to my first wife, I said, hey, I'm leaving this stable, environment. I had two kids, by the way. And I said, and I'm going to go do, I had just gotten into bodybuilding. And the bug bit me, you know. I said, I'm going to go ahead and be a personal trainer. And she said, what?
You're doing what?
And, you know, back then in my town, there was no personal training. I mean, the closest place you could find a trainer was maybe Fresno or Bakersfield. And it was like, it didn't matter to me. I said, I know I'll make it. I'll be fine. And as it turned out, I was right. But if I go back and see what my success for that, just is kind of like the way you're setting this success formula for these people with Noah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like, okay, it was about passion and everything else I could get.
And you took the opportunities and you saw, you were able to distinguish the fire within yourself.
Yeah.
And that's why I always say, rescue yourself. You have to find that fire.
Yeah.
And in order to find that fire, for the majority of us, we have to get rid of the excess.
Yeah.
All the extra weight, that's not us.
Right.
We don't need all that extra insulin in our, you know, like
yeah.
literally keeping us warm. We don't
yeah.
get to feel our spirit.
Yeah.
So we need to get rid of all that and get down to, you know, the basics of what your body needs. You know,
yeah.
a lot of people, I'll give you a quick example on food. They'll say, I'm not going to take this juice that's all fruits because it's 500 calories. I'd rather take this little bar that's 200 or 150 calories, less calories, more protein. But those calories you're taking with the vegetables and fruits that you're taking that drink, it has so many minerals that your body needs, vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why your sight, your skin, the way your brain thinks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything in essence.
Yeah.
And people have got rid of all that.
Yeah. And the other thing that I learned too, being in my business, and I think you're saying this to some degree, is I've learned how to compartmentalize this stress, for example, and compartmentalize my life, actually, because mm-hmm. I have that type of personality trait that when I get into something, I'm like, I have this mindset. I call it rabbit hole bodybuilding mindset. I just get in this mode that, you know,
and go, go, go.
Yeah, and it can be a good thing, but it can also be a bad thing because putting it in training terms, you start overtraining yourself. You start overtraining your system, you know?
Right.
And yet, it's important to be able to deal with all this stuff. And so I learned that I could do that if I would compartmentalize things, give it its due, and then once it was done, I moved. And that's hard to do.
And so what you were having is balance. Sort of a balance. And
that's right.
Everything in balance, it will flow. You have to start with that balance. And yes, everything has to have a moment. I even have my grandchildren and my children on a schedule. You know, I put them in my schedule, in my time. We all know we have Sunday, brunch at my house. Yeah. That's a quality time. And if I would lack having my children in there, my life would have a different meaning. And so that's why it's very important, especially for our, us people that are extremely hardworking, is to stop for a second, you said, and continue. Another thing that I wanted to touch with you, where you decided to break away from the family business, you had to learn to unlearn, because that was the passion of your ancestors.
Right.
That was the fire that your grandfather, your father had.
Right.
But that wasn't Leo's passion and fire, because we all have a purpose and we need to find that.
Yeah. And it's a tough deal.
And that's
deal.
The hard part.
It really is. It's very uncomfortable. And, but I'll tell you what it does do is it makes you dig down deep inside you. And our coaches used to tell that when I was playing ball. They said, you got to dig down deep. Because you're in this moment now, it's like, in sports, of course, it's do or die means a whole different thing. But it's like, okay, what are you going to do now?
You have sports, we have these rules, we know that you have to be consistent. You need to practice. You need to continue these things. That's why sports is so important for children, right? Because then even then some type of structure and understanding that when you work out a certain muscle, that's why with the natural bodybuilding, it's not only me, it's not only you, it's so many people. They realize that by working out one little muscle, it starts to grow, and we start doing things for purpose.
Yeah.
And in turn, you end up finding your true purpose inside, and we all have a different purpose.
Yeah. And the thing about that is, it's kind of like when I was bodybuilding, I learned this from this guy I was telling you about top of the show, Tom Platts. Mm-hmm. One of the things that he taught me was to learn how to trust your instinct,
Yes.
Because a lot of times it's, you don't trust that. Because it's like it's a the
scary form. It's like
scary, yes. Right?
Yeah.
And so one of the things I started learning is once I had like these little mini experiences that were positive, it gave me the confidence to try now. Well, let me try this now. I can trust this now. And it, your instinct isn't always right, but for the most part, it is.
It is.
But
when you start recognizing it, it starts to manifest itself more. And I call it spirit. I call it your consciousness.
Yeah.
But you in turn know what's right and wrong for you, because we're all different. So you have to trust yourself. And that's why you have to evaluate it.
Yeah.
You have to take opportunity and risk. You have to take action and accountability, because everything has every action has a reaction. So we have to see the consequences.
Right.
We have to play all that in our mind before we take action, and we have to be aware.
Yeah. Being aware is just kind of half the battle,
Yeah.
So you're not only a grandmother, but you're a mother, obviously a grandmother. Yes. And then you're also an athlete. I know you said you got into bodybuilding. You were a 2-time world bikini PNBA champion.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so I'm trying to get a timeline here. So you got into bodybuilding. So
I started at 40.
At 40, okay.
I started at 40 because I didn't like what I saw in the mirror. I didn't even feel myself. I physically just couldn't even run the way I used to. And you got to remember, I did Bounty Honey.
Yeah.
So I had a friend that had done another competition. She had won. And she said, hey, Nora, how about for a, new resolution? Let's get you in the gym.
Yeah.
And as I'm having like drinks and stuff at my house, this big party I had at my house around Christmas time, I looked at her like, you're crazy. But I did realize I needed help, and I took action, and I hired a coach.
Okay.
And first I did it, honestly, I did it because I didn't like the way I looked, how I felt. So I did it for myself. And yeah, some people would look at that as being selfish. I now realize that it was the beginning of a transformation within myself, because you have to get rid of all that excess. So, I had never done a diet in my life. I had never watched what I ate. I come from very small people. but I wasn't small anymore. So I did the plan. I lost 30 pounds in 6 weeks.
Wow.
Yes, but I didn't even eat one gummy bear, one chip, one nothing. I did exactly what she told me.
Which okay, was, so she was helping you with the diet then at that point.
Yes, okay. And working out. I hired a coach. And the coach said, she was a competition coach. So she said, hey, how about you compete? And my ego and my, you know, another thing was I want to do it as a bucket list. Why not? I look fabulous. I'm 40. I thought it, you know. And sure enough, I did Venice Beach, which is legendary.
Yeah.
And I ended up competing with 20-year-olds, and I came in third place.
Nice. That's a hell of a feat right there.
Yeah, it was amazing. So after that, I kept going to the gym. Luckily, and this is something that I brought out for the very first time to the owner of the organization, Mr. Denny Kekos, was that the trainer at the time, when I was doing the competition for Venice Beach, the night before, she said, here's a pill that's going to help you to get rid of the last of your water. And I went up there, and sure enough, I mean, I was just super sucked up. I looked fabulous. It did make me feel very, very, very weird. My ribs were hurting. I was totally dehydrated. After that, I continued working out. She said, hey, there's going to be another competition. This one's a natural competition. I didn't even know the difference.
Yeah.
She said, here, you don't take any supplements. And I go, well, what do I take that supplements, you know? And she goes, well, that pill I gave you the day before, it was a dietary.
Diuretic. Yeah.
And it was from Mexico. It was a pill from Mexico. She goes, I can't give you that. And I said, well, I'm fine. I'm still working out, doing what I got to do. Not worried. And I thank God that Mr. Denny Kekos has this organization, because rapidly I realized that there was a big difference, that stimulants could, you know, harm you mentally, physically, just everything all around. So 2 weeks later, I went into the organization. I did a show in San Diego, and I won the overall. Man. I beat everybody.
I think you're like a natural. I mean, to start winning that soon, your second event.
Yeah. I ended up winning every, so I took a break. I took a 1 year break.
Yeah.
Because I thought I had achieved what I needed. A year later, I went back into the organization, and I realized that I needed that balance, that it wasn't just about a one-time thing. And I was hooked. It gave me accountability to be on stage.
Yeah.
I competed as an amateur for 2 years. Every time I competed, I did about 1 to 3 categories at a time. And every time I competed, I won first place.
Damn.
And so I ended up, I mean, I share a lot in rescuing myself, my entire journey, because I had to rethink everything when I was at the top of my career.
Yeah.
And that's when I changed to being vegetarian. The meat was killing me, literally.
Yeah.
But again, that's everybody's system. Everybody's body is different. I was consuming 200 grams of animal protein every single day.
Yeah.
For a little person like me, that was way too much. But I will tell you, I became a pro because that same trainer told me I couldn't do it at the age.
Ooh, shame on her.
Yes, she put. I love it. I thank you.
No, I know. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
She put a fire up my butt. As
yeah.
I say.
No.
And we all need a little bit of that. We all need someone to, like, you know, hey, let me show you what I can do.
Yeah.
No, and it's just, and that's why I say anybody can do it, Leo. You just got to take the action. You have to take the steps.
Yeah.
And that's why this is so amazing, because all these athletes are doing it. They're finding their balance. You know, they all have a job. They're not just celebrities, you know, Instagram celebrities.
Right.
These are real people with real jobs, with a real family that have a balance. Yeah. And they're pursuing their passion.
Yeah.
Because they all have side businesses helping their community and the world.
I did notice that as I'm talking to the individuals, it's like, okay, you're not, you know, you're doing something else in addition to this. That's sort of your main job, you know, that makes it pretty unique. And I kind of found that throughout the whole, as I was talking to more and more people, you know, that changed that dynamic. right there. This is when I started noticing there's something else going on here, you know?
Well, it is. I always say it's the purpose, right? You start changing yourself. You start finding the purpose. And then the purpose becomes greater than you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when that happens, that's when it's just, you know, it's not you, it's God's plan. And that's why all these people are the same. We're all finding our passion, whatever it is. I do my little grain, you know, I put my little grain in there, you know, I'm helping out my way, you know. Philip Ricardo, you just had him on your show. He helps people other way. We have so many. I don't even want to start naming, but everybody's giving back one way or another because we all know what, you know, we found ourselves and we found our purpose.
No, it's a cool thing. It's a beautiful thing. You're also, I have to get some little clarification here. You're an official correspondent for the PNBA?
I am the official correspondent internationally, worldwide. I get to travel around the world and bring you guys stories from all the athletes. And I did that after I retired, winning two championships, one in Budapest, 2016, and then Rimini, Italy in 2017.
So you an official correspondent. This is something you do on your own, or are you doing as a part of the PNBA?
It's part of the IMBA, PNBA, yes.
IMBA. Okay, sounds good. I want
to get I brought this job to the table. I brought it to Denny and I told him, hey, this would be amazing. I started in Venice Beach.
Yeah.
I did interviews in Venice Beach. And I remember telling Denny, you know what? There's so many stories. We need to bring them into the light. Yeah. And these are regular people. And I was getting inspired. You know, I started by giving trophies. I started by putting on 4 shows for him a year. Now I'm going on 5 years putting on shows for him.
Yeah.
So I promote the shows as well. And I was really, really connecting with all the athletes and just being so inspired myself that I figured this would be amazing. And sure enough, he saw it and he said, you know, let's do it. And his thing has always been dream bigger. And now we say dream bigger, share the dream. Yeah. And so that's what we're doing. We're traveling around the world. Just at the Natural Olympia, we had over 40 countries from around the world. So when we have the championships in Europe, we get tons of Europeans, about 500 from around the world. And I'm able to bring those stories. And the beauty of it is that we all want the same thing.
Yeah.
We all want to be healthy. We all want love. We all want security. And that's it. Everybody.
Yeah.
And to be able to bring that and to show people what it's really about and how blessed we are to be here in the United States. We have everything at the tip of our hands.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. I'm really blessed and thankful that that's what I get to do.
Yeah.
And it is my passion. And even if there was, I do a lot of stuff. I say I donate a lot of my time because it's truly passionate. The money comes later. I don't care. I've had so much money and it never made me happy as I am today. And I have everything I need.
That's a good life lesson, I have to tell you.
It is.
You know?
It is.
And, but you can only experience that when you actually do find the kind of the path that you're supposed to be on. I knew that when the bug bit me, I said it back then, and I still say it today, if I didn't have to pay bills, I would just do it all for free because I love it that much. And I love it as much now, if not more, than I did when I first started. So I'm lucky. I mean, I even told my kids when they are graduating, I went down on the field and I said, look, I think that, you know, my 2 cents is make sure that you do something that is important to you.
Yes.
I was kind of saying that, you know, it'll put you on that path. You know, it doesn't matter if it's not a real job. When I first went into personal training in my area, I told people that because I had to educate them. Mm-hmm. At that time, they're going, wait a minute, you mean you're an aerobics instructor? I said, no. And you're getting paid for this? I mean, it was just something that was
that's the mindset of what I call it, how they've been programming you through life. They've programmed you to actually work, get paid and then work. And it's the other way around. As entrepreneurs, you have to put in the time, you have to put in the effort, then get paid. And people got it all backwards.
Well,
but they do.
No, it's true.
Most people. And you have to put in the work, and then you'll reap what you sow. That's how, you know, it is very true. Saying.
Yeah, exactly.
You reap what you sow. There's something that helped me out on actually accepting finances, because a lot of the time I was like, well, am I really doing good if I'm charging? And here it is. And this is going to help you, because I know it helped me. If you stop the energy, them paying you is them giving you the energy back. So if you stop that flow, then you're stopping it for yourself as well. So yeah. You always want to accept, and you have to have, even if it's a small token or if it's trading for something, there has to be a flow.
Yeah. And it means more to the other person as well.
Right. You know? It was just, and they'll appreciate it.
Yeah. It was just that it was kind of more something it was between myself and I, you know, I knew that I would just do this no matter what. And I just love the idea that I have something to look forward to every day, and I'm enthusiastic about it. And I keep learning even after all these years. So that, for me, I'm a lucky dude. Let me tell you that, you know,
you're helping people. What else do we want? Something, again, I keep going to, you know, the purpose, you know, when something is larger than your own self and you're doing it for others. I mean,
it's amazing.
All that is contagious, Leo. People want to do good. That's why it's like you have to put it out there. You have to let people know that we can all help little by little, whatever that way is. But we need to help each other in order to grow as a world and humanity. You know, we have so much going on.
Yeah.
And we have to get back to the root.
That's true. Nutrition. You told me how you learned initially about nutrition, but what is your nutrition philosophy? I know you're a plant-based, that's your philosophy, but tell me things like how many times a day, for example, do you eat?
So I've been doing intermittent fasting for the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. I also write that in the book. I'm all about it because when you do intermittent fasting, you're not eating for 16 hours. You're giving your body the time to repair itself, not only digest everything that you have in your body. Mm-hmm. It starts to pull all the excess, like cellulite. When you're done with the cellulite, it starts to pull all the heavy metals that are stored in your brain that can be a big cause for Alzheimer's, just to name a few things. So I do the intermittent fasting every single day except Sunday. Sunday I have brunch with my kids, so I eat all day. So I eat in a window of 8 hours. Mm-hmm. And in that 8 hours, I try to start with something very, like a lot of fiber, either a shake with kale and a vegan protein and some dates, peanut butter, almond butter. And then I start to increase everything else. I kind of do it backwards from what most people are taught. To eat all your carbs in the morning. I do it the other way around. Mm-hmm. Your body's supposed to have all the fruits and vegetables first so it can process everything else you have. So my nutritional background is from doing everything on myself and learning from myself. In the book, I do explain why I went plant-based, and I just try to show you acid is the negative. Right. Animals have a lot of acid. It's because of the way they treat them. It's just like us. If we have a lot of stress, when we die, we're going to have that acid in our skin. If somebody would consume that, same thing with the animal, right?
Yeah.
So you're consuming all that acid from the animal. It's not the meat that we used to eat. Even my parents in Mexico, they would grow their sheep or their lamb or whatever, and then, you know, treat it kindly and then eat it, and you're eating something good. So grass-fed is very good, and you can go hunt your own stuff. That's amazing.
Right.
But I try to teach you all those things. And I never went to school for it. But I love the kitchen. So I write a cleanse on this book. And it is a vegan cleanse. I believe in removing everything that's negative and add just tons of minerals. So the diet, this cleanse has 11 recipes as well. And the reason why herbs are so important. My daughter, that's 29, she went to school for herbologist. So she knows all about the herbs. And I know about the herbs through my mom. My mom passed away, but she was born in 1932. And her roots are very, very long.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of remedies. And so the next book I'm writing will be Recipes for Life. And it won't only have vegan recipes. It'll also have, instead of, for example, if you're going to do a pozole, which is very traditional Mexican pozole, I make it with a lot of nutritional things in it, but you can make it with jackfruit or you can make it with chicken. I give you the option.
Right. Interesting. You know, I, we have something in common because I intermittent fast every day too.
It's the best.
And you know something? It's
spiritually everything.
Well, it's pretty amazing actually, you know, because I come from a background where I didn't do that, you know, so I started doing that and I feel a lot better because the way that I eat is, it's to share with you, is that during the week, I'm fasting and on the weekend because I don't like to, I still, because I, again, I know that you and I have a little different approach. I'm still that person that counts calories every day. Okay. I mean, I've had, you know, it, this is going back 20 years of being in my sport. And it was
That's why.
And it's just something that I'm just used to doing. I mean, I have my, I weigh my food at home. I weigh, it's just, I weigh things, you know, that's how I keep myself accountable that way, you know. But,
and there's nothing wrong with that. No. It's like me telling Nicole, you know, three-time natural bodybuilding champion, don't weigh yourself. I mean, I can't tell you that.
That's right. But on the weekend, I get as far away from the scale as I possibly can.
You have to balance.
Yes. And my balance is being very strict Monday through Friday on the weekends. And now the way I eat differently than you is there's nothing off the table for me on the weekend. That's just the way I do that. And I eat it. I have it's calorie out to where, you know, I have so many calories during the week and on the weekend, I don't count any calories, but that's my balance. And it makes it, so we all, I guess the message there is you have to create something that's lifestyle friendly to you.
Right.
And because this is one of the things that I've learned when dealing with people as a personal trainer over the years. You know, people, they're getting caught up in things like doing the, and I'm not saying that they're a bad thing, but diets like Jenny Craig or Nutrisystems, they're okay. They serve a purpose, but it's not a, it's a Band-Aid. It's not a long-term.
It's not a lifestyle.
No, it's not. And that's the reason why you take a look at the stats on that. Most of those people, after about 6 to 8 months, they go back to what they used to do, and they're actually
there's no longevity.
No, there's there's no infrastructure, and it's user unfriendly. And you, if you take a look at the how the people are responding to those diets, they buy that diet until they lose the weight or whatever, and then they go and off it.
Yeah, roller coaster.
A roller coaster. That's exactly right. You know,
and it's so bad for your body.
Oh like, yeah.
When I retired, it was the funniest thing because one person came up to me, and I'm sure a lot of people thought it, but one of the athletes, he's like, oh, you didn't gain all the weight back, you know, because there was a time off, you know, there's like right now we're in season off. And so people don't see you for 2-3 months unless they follow you on social media. And he's like, you didn't gain your weight back. And I'm like, what did you think I was going to do? I don't know. Like, it's a lifestyle. It's truly a lifestyle for me. It's just what makes sense for me, you know, and I share that, you know, and that's what it's about. But we do need, and I emphasize this so much, is we need to learn to unlearn what our parents taught us, what our what society taught us, what the Jones taught us. And you have to find what, take the good stuff from your parents, you know, what you want in your life to reflect you, because there's a reason why they're your family, they're in your blood. So take what you want. And then, you know, incorporate and find out what Leo wants. Find out what Nora. I mean, I didn't find out what Nora truly loved until I was 40. And that's because, you know, when you're a child, you do what your parents tell you. And then school. And then the husband. And then the kids. And then when do you find yourself?
Exactly. No, that's a very true statement. Here's a useless random fact maybe. Oh, no, I don't think it's actually useless. I think it's very useful. Did you know, because I learned this, I do seminars at my facility, my studio. Every once in a while, I get these weekend seminars. And the whole idea is to bring people in and educate them in some area, you know. One of the things I learned, I don't know if you've learned this, is that, you know, as a bodybuilder coming through the ranks, we were told to eat like 6-7 times a day.
Yeah, and, I hated that.
Well, you know, but here's what I learned. Did you know that the when your body is in between meals or when it's sleeping, it starts releasing from the liver and the pancreas these enzymes and bile? Okay, So do you know that you're actually more efficient when you eat less times a day than more times a day? Because when you're in between meals and when you go longer stretches without eating, your body produces more enzymes, lipase, and bile. And when those two things get together, they go through your system and they start eating up on the triglycerides that are in your body. Mm-hmm. So you actually become, I'm not saying that you should eat like once a day, but eating three times a day compared to eating seven times a day, you're more efficient eating three times a day.
And I eat three times a day. I never finished your question, but I take my shake or something with a lot of fiber, and then I'll have my lunch. But I mean, for most people, it's dinner. And then I have my late dinner, and that's it. I'll have some snacks in between if I want it, but really I don't need it.
Yeah.
And I feel amazing. I'm very, very active. You've seen me.
Yes, I have. I saw you
running around everywhere.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you now, all right, so in the off season now, are you still training?
So off season, my lifestyle never changes. I'm active every single day. When I say off season, I mean there's no shows.
Yeah.
But my lifestyle doesn't change. I'm constantly, you know, before I jump in the shower, not every day, but, you know, at least a couple of times a week, I'll do push-ups before jumping in the shower. I love to have nice arms. So I'm always doing arms. I have a little gym in my house. So I'm very active. I'm never just sitting down. That's just not me. I wear many hats, and I believe that we're very blessed to have each day. And I try to do as much as I can and also spend quality time with the people that I love. And be in that moment. So definitely have balance.
I guess what I'm asking is that you don't like, whether it's a home gym or a gym, you don't go to the gym.
You don't stop.
You don't go to the gym and do like off-season training or any training like you.
No.
Okay.
So when I competed for 7 years, for 6 years, I went to the gym 6 days a week.
Right.
For 6 years. I mean, I took some time off in between, but the majority of the time, I mean, I competed 7 times in 1 year.
So
I was constantly competing.
Yeah.
That's why I racked up 21 first places.
Exactly.
I never stopped.
Yeah. What made you choose bikini?
Bikini, because that fit my body style. We're all different. There's some people that do better in sports, some people that do better in a figure. For me, I'm very tiny. I have a small waist, and I just had to work basically on my lower body. Yes, I have to get rid of some cellulite. I lost 30 pounds when I started. So that's where my body really fit in. And for bikini, you have to be symmetrical, your buttocks and your chest, small waist, tight booty, and you have to have some grace. And I used to be a bud girl back in the days.
Oh, is that right?
And I modeled for some things when I was in my 20s. I was on lowrider, so it was up my alley.
Natural,
and I was a ring girl.
natural fit. So do you still access your coach or anything like that, or just now this is all your show and you just live it your way and do it your way?
This is just I live life by my rules, and I think
I like that.
I that's why it's like I just pick and choose what's important for the day. And I always have God, you know, thanking him for another day, another opportunity to make a difference in the world, because I always wanted to do something huge. I never knew how. And I remember looking outer, trying to make a difference out here, and realizing later on in life that you have to start within yourself and within your family.
Yeah.
Because how can we change the world if we don't love and give and protect and teach the people around us?
I think
always have to start at home.
I think that's a smart approach, which leads me to my next question. So where do you go from here? One of the things that I ask myself and keep asking myself again, you know, I'm that person that came through and in the late 80s and 90s, man, I was out there just going for it, and I lived a life that most people don't, you know, with traveling and doing seminars and guest posings, and it was just truly amazing. And, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that being an athlete was one of the staples in my life. It always has been. But nothing taught me more about life and life lessons than bodybuilding for me, because you had to have all this discipline, and it really taught me a lot to have a strong, powerful mindset, because as you know, this life is going to test you no matter what.
Life will happen.
It's going to happen. And boy, you better have something strong to fall back on, you know?
And that's what natural bodybuilding does. I mean, it doesn't do it just for you. It doesn't do it just for me. It does it for so many. I share so many personal things in my book because, again, life is going to happen.
Yeah.
But you have to be prepared on, not so much prepared, but how are you going to handle things? And unless you're 100% within yourself, you're not going to know how to react. If you have something else on your brain, you know, a problem that occurred the night before, and you came across someone, that almost hit you, per se. I mean, I share, I don't know if you read the whole book, but I share a lot of really deep things, and I wasn't in the right state of mind. And that's why you have to take care of your temple yourself and then go out in the outer. But start with yourself. And, you know, working out, it is a meditation within yourself when you're doing it.
That's
why everybody finds themselves. You know, you're in the gym for hours or wherever you're at. You're working out. You're concentrating on that one part of your body. That's meditation.
Yeah,
that's prayer.
True. No, that's true.
What it is.
Yeah, that's true. I agree with you, you know? So I asked myself, you know, and this is the reason why, part of the reason why I came back into the industry, because I left for 13 or 14 years. I mean, we still have our products that are being sold, our training courses, but for the most part, I retired and just got out of it. You know, we're a niche marketing company and we do other things, what got me back into this thing, the start of it was I was reading Google, you know, reading the news, and I started seeing a lot of trainers, these social media stars that you were talking about, celebrities. And I thought, wait a minute, I was reading some of the stuff that was going on here. And I thought, wait, these guys don't know what the heck, and girls are, they're misleading their people. And so the whole point of that was like, I want to come back out and start, because I was known for talking very straight, even if it was kind of popular in the industry back. You know, and I got a lot of heat for that, a lot of white male, you know, people would reach out to me. It was kind of scary, but I've always been that way. And this brought me back out again. I kind of wanted to get back out and start talking and spreading the word from my perspective of what I thought was what was really going on, and how these people were just, could be a possible danger for unsuspecting
clients. For other people. You know, they're saying, hey, take this and you're going to get this, you know, out of it. Well, in reality, they don't even take the product.
Yeah.
That's why, thank God, we have Iron Man Magazine now that's bringing you stories, as well as, you know, it's all a combination. You're doing your job. I'm doing my job. The Iron Man is doing their job. And it's like all of us are seeing, because the light will always shine through. And we're at a point, again, history has manifested itself. We have enough social media that we see what happens to these people and how real and how fake they are, that you see the truth. So there's, you know, I always say, God knows it. Everybody else is going to know it soon enough. So we're living in that moment.
Yeah. And so this brought me back out again. And I started, now I got back into it with initially podcasting. And then, you know, one thing leads to the other. Of course, I ended up having a meeting, because I called Iron Man when I found out that Danny Kekos, because Danny knew Tom Platz, and there was a possible connection there. And sure enough, he knew of me back in those days, you know, and we started talking. And next thing you know, I'm at the International Olympia.
And I know. Isn't that great?
Yeah. And the podcasting had me revved up and, you know, getting back out and starting to talk to people. But when I went to that show, that did it for me. It was like, it was almost like that moment, Nora, when I promised myself back when I was on that Family Diary, if I ever got something that gave me that buzz again, I was just going to jump. And I'd have to tell you, honestly, and it kind of freaks me out, because I, you know, to get a second chance and around to have this kind of feeling again, I'm like, I feel like I have a jetpack on my back and I just want to go 1,000 miles an hour.
I felt your energy when you gave that check, when you went up on stage, and I felt it. I saw you, I felt it. And it was just like I'm here. I got another chance.
Exactly. And you know what? And here's the thing. I'm quite a bit older than you, actually. And it means for me, and I've heard this from other athletes, you know, when they win like a second title or second, you know, Super Bowl, whatever, to have this again at my age, I'm 64 now, going to be 65 in May, it's not any better than this, you know? And I'm really lucky that I went to that that event. And I told Denny, I probably told you, I said, I want to do whatever it takes to be right in the middle of all this. You know,
see why I do it? You see why I do it?
Yeah. You know, so, but anyway, well, listen, I think that you and I have more in common than I even thought, you know, I mean,
yes.
You were someone at that show that I immediately connected with. I mean, you know, at some point you start knowing, it's almost instant where you know that you have a connection with somebody, and you also know there's people that you just don't, you know?
Right, right. Well, and that's again, listening to your inner self.
Yep. And I knew that I had this, this connection with you. So I hope that we can continue doing a lot of things together, really. And I wanted you to thank you very much for taking the time out to come to the show. Let me say this. You've been mentioning the book. Do you have, where's your book sold? Amazon?
Amazon, under my name, or just Rescuing Myself. It's also available in Espanol because I'm Mexican. And I want to help my people first in Spanish, so I did it Rescatándome in Spanish.
Okay.
It's also going to be featured on Iron Man magazine. That's my little birthday present.
Nice.
I'm going to be 48. And hopefully Recipes for Life 2020. And that'll be three generations. It'll be my granddaughter, my daughter, and myself on that.
Nice. You're going to leave a nice, beautiful legacy for all the people around you. I can tell that.
Yes. I take my purpose very seriously. I mean, I always try to go to the root of everything, especially when Christmas is coming up or the end of the year or my birthday, because it is in December. And I look back at everything and I realize, you know, my name means light. I take it very, very, very much to heart. So I want to be the light. And I just want to be able to bring all these beautiful stories to light. And that's it. That's all I want to do. I want everybody to be as happy as I am.
You're a bright light. Believe me. There's no question about that. Anything else that you would like to share with or promote on the podcast as far as what you got going on?
Well, they can follow me on social media. I share a lot of recipes. I have a YouTube channel as well. And I just share everything there that I can. I don't know. Whatever I can do, I will help you guys out. And hopefully we're going to do some speaking events, Leo, together.
Nice.
And they can come see us, right?
Yeah, I love it. I'm in my moment right now. So I'm gonna ride your coattails as much as I can, Nora.
Let's go. And the season doesn't stop for me. I keep promoting. Just stay tuned on social media, Nora Reynoso. And I put down everything on there where I'm going to be at. And we can stay connected. So sending everybody a lot of love. And thank you, Leo.
Thank you so much. Thank you for coming on. And I'll be seeing you soon, I'm pretty sure. All right?
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Have a good day.
Thanks for listening to the Serious Growth Podcast. For more episodes like the one you just listened to, subscribe to us on your mobile podcast app and leave us a review. If you'd like to reach out, you can find us online at seriousgrowth.com. Until next time, train smart and train hard.